Let's pray and we'll go ahead and get started. Father and our God, we thank you again for this opportunity to gather as your people, to gather around the reading and study and discussion of the word. And we do pray as we look into this particularly practical aspect of child training this morning, as we think about issues that relate not just to our kids, but even to ourselves, that we would take these things to heart, that we would take them seriously, that it would influence the way that we function first in our own lives, and then those of us who are raising children, it would cause us to think more deeply about what we need to be doing in the training of our children, that we might raise children who are raised in the fear and admonition of you. That is our desire and our goal, and we pray that this class might serve to that end. We pray in Christ's name, amen. Well, we spent a good bit of time on anger, and I think it was, hopefully, you found it to be profitable. It seemed to me like it was good discussion and something everybody was definitely interested in delving deeper on. I think it's time for us to move to a different topic. Like I said, I could almost see us turning us into a class on anger management, but we're not going to do that, even though there'd be some value in that, I'm sure. So we've got quite a few other topics available, and as I've mentioned to you, we'll just kind of take this on a week at a time basis and let you pick randomly. You can pick anything. I've got the first three have already been covered, so everything else on the list, and you can even kind of see by it's distinguished by the color. Once you've clicked on a link, it changes color just like on the internet. So I guess I'm looking to you guys, to whoever wants to throw one out there that they'd like to cover, throw it out there and we can go for it.
Importance of work
from the work of man himself. Oh, help me. One reason I hate these, the mouse, that you just touch it and it takes it as a tap. You know, you can accidentally tap when you didn't want to. The importance of work. The book of Proverbs and the rest of the Bible makes it clear that God expects us to work in order to provide for our basic needs and desires and to meet the needs of those around us. So two things, or maybe you could think of it as three things. You're working for yourself, because we all have certain needs, and God, under normal circumstances, expects us to provide for our own needs and gives us the ability to do so. And those needs sometimes bleed over into desires, and it's sometimes hard to define the difference between those two. But then we're also to work beyond that and be able to provide for others as well. So we see that in Proverbs. Talked about all hard work brings a profit. He who works his land will have abundant food. It's providing for our own food needs. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son. But he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. So it's wise to work. And the reason why, if you gather in the summer when you're able to gather, then you'll have food in the winter. So that even involves thinking ahead. And then if we go to the New Testament, we see the broader principle, which is, let a thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And this is a classic New Testament pattern, where you think of it as like the analogy of clothing. You take off one set of clothes and you put on a different set of clothes. So you take off the clothing of sin and the clothing of the world, and you put on the clothing of righteousness and the clothing of serving God. So a thief is to no longer steal, stop stealing. But you don't just stop there. Don't say, stop stealing, and then you go away. You say, stop stealing, but replace stealing with the righteous alternative. What would that be? Instead of taking something that somebody else worked for, that belongs to somebody else, instead, you go away and produce and meet your own needs by your own work. And not only do you meet your own needs with honest work, but you Instead of stealing from others, you provide and help others who are in need. So there's the contrast there. Basic biblical outlook of work. Another thing we see as we go through the book of Proverbs, and remember these studies were, this is a condensed version of when I went through the book of Proverbs and dealt topically with passages in Proverbs. As we go through the book of Proverbs and look for passages dealing with work, we see that all work requires a certain degree of skill. Proverbs tells us that those who become very skillful in their work will reap great benefits. If you see a man skillful in his work, he will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. So work, when viewed from this perspective, is not just necessarily getting out there and sweating or grunting or working hard, though there's nothing wrong with any of those things, and often it's required, depending on the type of work you do. But there's a place for skill in work. And sometimes skill can stand in the place of labor. You know, the old saying, sometimes joked about in comics, the work smarter, not harder kind of idea. And as a society begins to develop equipment and technology, it puts people in a position of being able to do more if they're skilled enough to do it. Think about the example of something simple like digging a ditch. Well, people have been able to dig a ditch forever. You know, all you need really is a shovel, and you can dig a ditch. Or you can get a backhoe and dig a ditch much faster. And one person can dig a whole lot more ditch with a backhoe than a whole team of people with shovels digging a ditch. But operating a backhoe requires a certain amount of skill. And it's fun too, by the way. Just an example. And I think there have been fears in society that, you know, as technology develops, that human beings will be replaced and all their jobs are taken by technology. And there's an element of truth to that, but sometimes what you see happening is that the more low-level type jobs go away and they're replaced by high-level type jobs with people who are able to do more with us, who have the skill to do it. Because we live in a fallen world, everything around us has a tendency to wear out, break, fall apart, become messy, overgrown, etc. Not telling you anything you don't know. All you have to do is get up in the morning and look in the mirror, and this becomes very obvious, right? It's only through work that we can counteract this natural tendency of things in our fallen world to go downhill. We see that spelled out in a proverb like Proverbs 24, verses 30 and following, where the writer of the proverb makes this observation. He said, "I went past the field of a sluggard." I love that word. It's the word used in Proverbs in certain translations for a lazy person. He went past the field of a lazy person, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. And sometimes he sees those things as being hand in hand, lacking judgment and being lazy. What did he see? Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds. The stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Now, all of us know this in whatever area of life we work in, whether it's just keeping up with your house or whether it's working on your job. It doesn't take much kicking back and not making good use of your time to suddenly notice that everything around you starts going downhill. That's just the automatic way things go. And the only way you're going to stay ahead of things is to use your time well and to try to continually work against the natural tendency of life for everything to go downhill. The biggest obstacle to work. You know, at the fall, we saw all kind of obstacles to work were introduced. But there's an obstacle that's bigger than all those things that are mentioned in Genesis chapter 3. The fall of man brought many external obstacles. The biggest obstacle is the internal obstacle, our laziness. Laziness brings on deep sleep. The idle person will go hungry, according to Proverbs 19. The desire of the sluggard kills him, for for his hands refuse to labor. All day long he craves and craves. So here you have a person, they want stuff, they're not willing to work for it, so they're just going to sit there and continue to crave the things they want and not willing to put forth the effort to get them. The way of a sluggard is blocked with thorns. Excuse me. The path of the upright is a highway. So here you have a contrast being drawn. You have a lazy person, and it's as though his path is blocked by thorns. Have you ever walked through the woods at a path, on a path that wasn't real well traveled, and you keep having to, you know, maybe you had to take a machete to hack your way through? It's not going to be real fast progress there. But that's the way life is for a lazy person. They can't make hardly any progress. They're just too lazy. They're always busy just kicking back. They're not smart about the way they work. And they create their own problems. So their life seems like a path blocked by thorns. The path of the upright, which is presumed to be someone who works hard and is diligent, his life's like going down a freeway. Things really go quickly for him. He gets a lot done. Now keep in mind, Proverbs are general rules. We understand, you know, righteous and hardworking people have their days and so forth. But generally speaking, that's the way those things are framed in the book of Proverbs. God in his kind providence has arranged our world in such a way that a man must work in order to meet his needs. Because God has set things up in this way, all men have a natural incentive to work and not become lazy. And we see that in a proverb like Proverbs 16:26. It says, the laborer's appetite works for him. You're thinking, okay, a guy's hungry, he has an appetite, that works for him, how? Well, his hunger drives him on to do what? What do you think?
Keep working.
This is, huh?
Keep working.
I'm sorry.
I think to keep working.
Yeah, to work, provide for his need. You have a desire? Go work for it. Well-meaning Christians sometimes interfere with this natural incentive by giving financial help to a person who's lazy and unwilling to work because they see that person is poor and perhaps hungry. By giving to such a person, though you have good intentions, you may actually be hurting the person that you intended to help. Now, this is something that requires balance, and we're not going to take a whole lesson to deal with it, though we easily could. I've already mentioned the need to provide for others, so we recognize that. But the Bible also puts, I believe, boundaries around that and does not prescribe, in fact, prohibits helping those who are unwilling to work and who are bringing on their own demise, because by helping them, you're actually hurting them. So there you have it, a quick summary of that material. Now we get to the part of saying, okay, so we're raising kids and we have these ideas fixed in our mind about work. How is this going to impact the way we raise our kids? What are we going to do with reference to our kids to apply these principles that we understand from what we just went through?
I think the thing that you just mentioned is, you know, not just handing them everything, but helping them to understand if you want something, then you know, let's work toward it. Let's, you know, save your money or whatever it is.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, that seemed like such a basic and simple idea, and yet so many people seem to miss that at some level, don't they? Today especially, I think it's always been the case to some degree. And here again, we have a balance to bring into play. Obviously, parents provide for their kids. Obviously, there are things that kids can't do for themselves at various levels and stages. But as a thinking parent who is mindful of what the Bible says about work and who's mindful of the big picture and the long range, you're going to think about, okay, I'm providing for my son or daughter today, as I rightfully should, but how can we begin to transition and move them into doing things and learning the value of work themselves? Yeah.
I know different people have different views on allowance.
Yes.
We don't freely give allowance to our kids. We have a chore chart, and they have responsibilities to fulfill that week. Even for the little ones, it's a simple, really simple task, but we got to start somewhere. The older they get, their tasks get a little bit more involved. But if they do a good job and follow through throughout the week on that chore chart, then it's at that time that they can get compensated for it. So we're trying to instill the concept of good work, good wages, poor work, poor wages.
Okay, there you go. And there's lots of ways to work that out. You're being creative and you're thinking about that. And you know, some people would just say, well, you know, allowance is like a salary and I expect you to work. Maybe just they can work for extra things like extra credit. Others would do it a different way. And I'm not in any way commenting on your approach other than to say there are a lot of ways to do that. But you've got the right things in your mind and you're thinking about how to motivate your kids. Of course, sometimes you can get into a deal if you make all pay. What if they say, well, I see what you're paying for all that, but I'm not. That's not worth it to me. I don't want to do it. How do you handle that?
Well, we have a difference between responsibilities and jobs.
Okay.
So there are some things of helping out around the house that are expected. It's you're chipping into the family. You're not getting paid for it. You get to eat, I guess.
Right.
That's part of being a part of the family. But there are jobs that they can earn.
Okay.
Money.
So that would almost be like an above and beyond or extra credit or kind of approach, sounds like from the way you're approaching it, which is good. Because, yeah, you are going to run into that. And, of course, you could run into the opposite side. If you paid for everything, then you go to ask them to help you, you know, bring in the groceries, and they're like, well, how much do I get paid for that? And whoa, we got the wrong picture here. So a lot of things to balance there. I mean, on the right track there for sure. But those are the things that we're all, as parents, trying to work through with our kids. Yes, Amy.
It's interesting meeting up with one of my doctors, and when he saw we were expecting number five, he's like, oh, he's like, another one coming. He's like, yeah, we've got five. And his kids are all grown now for the most part, but they homeschooled him. And, you know, he's a doctor, very well established. And all that. He goes, you know, he goes, just to throw this out there, he goes, but the one piece of advice that I wish I could tell myself 25, 30 years ago when we started out, parenting change I would make is that when it comes to giving our kids things, that we wouldn't try to meet all their needs, because that them learning to do without is one of the biggest life lessons that we could have taught them. Because I'm at fault, because I was the helicopter dad who anytime there was a slight emergency, I'd rush in and fix the problems for them. Because, and that's backfired big time. News, but the difference is not saying no to your child because you can't give them what they're asking. It's learning to say no to them even though you can.
Yes.
But you don't.
Yes.
That's the trick. Thought, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, for him, you know, having 20-year-olds and so on, and very, I mean, he has means to take care of his children.
Sure.
But for him to actually say, I wish I learned to say no to my children and to make them understand the value, because it would have helped them so much more getting that first step on their own when they were ready to leave the home.
Those are wise words, and coming from someone who's in that position, that's a really good illustration. Something too, a lot of parents, a lot of us as in our parenting, become a reaction to our parents, and sometimes an overreaction. So here's something that I've seen. A parent grew up and their dad made them do a lot of work around the house, and they said, man, I hated that when my dad did that. I'm never making my kids do that. And I've known some, and I know some of you know people in this case, in fact some of you are in this case, where, you know, your dad's kind of handy around the house being able to do things, and he never bothered to make you do that because maybe he was resentful that his dad made him do that. So the kid grows up not learning a skill. Did he really help him? You know, and I know it's not easy. When we moved into the house, my youngest son was in high school and very capable of working and a smart boy, capable of learning. And I worked his tail off because I just needed to. But partly I thought it was for his good. And for a while, he had some resentment about that. And maybe you could argue I didn't do it and somehow frame it right or something. I don't know. That's possible. But on balance, what I was doing was a good thing. And after he grew up and moved out of the house, but hadn't had kids yet, that's the key. When you have kids, you learn all kinds of things. You begin to go, wait a minute, I see what my parents did now. At times, he would just make comments about the way I had worked him. And it was, I could see an edge in his comment. It was like, yeah, the way you kind of, took advantage of me or what have you. So finally one day I said, you know, you keep making these kind of comments. I want to just get this out. Let's talk about that. Why did I do that? And what do you think about that? And by asking that question, he went through it and he said, honestly, he said, actually, you really helped me a lot by teaching me those things. He said, in fact, we used to go on mission trips because he likes to go on mission trips to help people. And he said, I get on the mission trip and I was one of the most skilled guys on the mission trip. And people are like, how'd you know how to do all that? He said, well, my dad always makes me do this at home. He said, so it really was a good thing. He said, I just let it make me mad. So, again, I'm glad we had that little talk, and I hope he doesn't, you know, overreact with his kids in that area. And again, somebody might want to critique the style and the way or whatever, how I did. I'm not trying to hold myself up as some kind of supermodel. But those are the things you wrestle with as parents, I guess is why I throw that out there.
I have a question. I understand how it works for teens, like when I was 12.
Yeah.
I pay for my own stamps for my pen pals.
Yeah.
And, when I, you know, older, we paid for our own cars or car insurance, cell phones. You know, and if you get older, college, music lessons, all that stuff. I get that. But what do you do outside of allowance when you're younger than 12? What's the incentive for them to work besides money?
Well, interestingly enough, at least to a point, younger kids actually like the help at first. Now, that wears off real quick. I get that, you know. But you look at your kids. I mean, dad's, you know, walking around with the drill working on something, and the kid's got a toy drill going, zzz, zzz, you know, and or he's pushing.
I'm just saying, like, if a lot doesn't change with us, our kids are going to have to be super excited over quarters. And I don't think that's much of an incentive in this
yeah.
day and age. So I'm saying, like, how do you get it to a point that
yeah,
they understand the value of the dollar and I don't want to do this?
Yeah, you could do a couple different things possibly, and we could throw this open. Others of you may already have ideas. But for one thing, there can be an expectation that we do this because it's part of being in the household. Like Kennard pointed out, you get to eat at the table, you know. Do this and you will live kind of thing. So not everything has to be motivated by money, although that becomes a good motivator. Sometimes, I know my own parents, you know, they would say, hey, if you want to do... Like, I was actually mowing lawns. I was actually going door-to-door and doing stuff for people at a very early age, 10, 11, 12 years old. I was out. I was knocking on doors. Hey, can I mow your lawn? Hey, would you like to buy some? You know, I just was that kind of kid. And my parents, they encouraged that, but they found fertile ground in my soul on that for some reason. I was just more naturally bent that way. Some kids are not. So... but anyways, my dad would sometimes say, hey, if you help me with such and such, some kind of optional thing, I'm going to take you here, I'm going to buy you this or whatever, you know. And it wasn't maybe something he paid me like quarters, but it was just something that I was interested in. So that could be another way. Either way.
I think as you start seeing the little ones' personalities and kind of what motivates them, because I know right now, like with Jaden, we're still kind of, you know, trying to figure some stuff out, but like he knows that we get to stay home because daddy goes to work and he provides for us, and you know, and so we have conversations about money and you know what his work will do for us, but I think we kind of miss just the value of his work. Like, so JD's like, I need a job, and you know, he's always coming up with different jobs he's gonna have, and but money always comes in. And I think with him, we've got to work towards like, what kind of job do you enjoy? And then, like, what can this job do to help somebody else? And so just kind of looking to see what is going to motivate, like, what small thing, like, do they love seeing other people smile? Or do, like, I mean, Jane just loves to talk to people, so we might let him, you know, set up a lemonade stand or something because, you know, it will bring people to him to talk instead of chasing him down the street. So so I think that might be something that can kind of help as we start seeing, yeah, see what's going to.
Yeah, I hear a couple of things in that you brought up that are really good. One was the idea of satisfaction in the work itself, because not all work is just for the dollar. There's a satisfaction in doing good work and seeing the results of your work and taking pride in that in a good sense. I don't think that's bad pride. And helping other people. I know some parents were big on making their kids go help other people. I know the Shepherd Boys were, in particular... I think I had Micah and some others come out to the house and do work for us, and I would pay them to do work, and they were older. And they just seem so happy to get paid to do work. I said, well, our dad used to make us do this for free by helping other people. So to get paid for work was really cool. And, you know, I say good for your dad. Maybe Ethan wouldn't agree. He'd say he might be like Josh when me making him work. I don't know what he would think about that. But, I didn't really do much of that with my boys. I'd say Mr. Shepherd kind of upped the ante on that one where I'm concerned. I made them work for money, which is okay. And he went an extra step and made them work to help other people. Good thinking. Thinking that I didn't particularly have. I wasn't against that. I just didn't think about doing it. So.
I have a nephew who likes to help out. He asks to work alongside me to get projects done. And I'll offer to compensate him in some way. And one day he told me, Uncle Tim, you don't have to pay me. I just like doing this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that goes to show on a character level.
Yeah.
And he appreciates what he's learning, you know, as he does that. So I'm appreciative for his parents instilling that.
And I think we have built within us a certain somewhat natural tendency to have that satisfaction in work, but laziness counteracts, but the fall interferes. But remember, work came before the fall. Adam was out tilling the garden before there was sin in the world. Sin made work more difficult by introducing thorns and thistles and laziness and other things, death and so forth, sweat, pain, etc. But work, there's a level at which work can be and should be satisfying. And you can kind of develop that in your kids, just like you can sort of cultivate that in yourself. You know, just by the way you live your life. I think about sometimes the way Sandy and I spend our weekends, and we just kind of over the years have cultivated a lifestyle that says, you know, weekends are for getting some work done. Now we do take vacations and we do go places and all that. Some people, it's like party, party, party every time the weekend hits. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a particularly good a party where there's not immorality. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with having a vacation. I'm not condemning. But sometimes thinking in terms of, hey, this is time to get things done. And we get that. We don't come to the end of the day going, oh, I hated that I spent my whole weekend working. We come to the end of the week going, you know, it was pretty good. We got a lot done this weekend. I look out the yard and it looks nice, and whatever we did, you know, it looks great. And that's a good thing. Sarah, yeah, you've had your hand up. I'm sorry.
Okay. Linda Beth, you were saying, I mean, things you could do that aren't money related, it could be, you could want, like, I'll make you some cookies, or you can watch, like, you can have some movie time or some video game time. Like, we're kind of in a bad habit. Our kids watch too much TV. Their ages are just kind of, it's hard having little ones close together, but I mean, if you don't have a household that gets to watch a lot of TV, like, that could be the reward. Is, oh, you've worked for something, now your reward is you can watch, you know, 30 minutes of a show or play a little bit of a game, or I'll make you something special, or, and you can help me make it.
Yeah.
Taylor loves to help in the kitchen, and it's not always that helpful.
And sometimes framing is everything in life, you know, when you're describing things. Sometimes you can frame things in a way that helps them feel appreciated or helps them connect. One thing we did for a while, I just didn't like the idea of telling my kids I'm going to pay you if you make good grades in school. I wanted my kids to make good grades in school. I thought they should be motivated to do that in and of itself, which to some degree they were. And I knew they were smart enough to do it, so it wasn't a hindrance there. But I didn't like the idea of saying, so I'll pay you so many dollars or do this, you know. So the way I framed it was, hey, if you guys got a good report card this time, let's celebrate. And I would take them out and we'd go, you know, and we'd do something really crazy and unusual. Like, I took them one time on a train ride. We'd never been on a train before. Me neither. Interesting, by the way. Just some kind of treat, you know. And we're just celebrating a great, you know, semester of good grades or whatever. So that's another way of doing it. Of course, with younger kids, maybe you celebrate with an ice cream cone over, you know, how much you helped mommy today by doing this or that or whatever. So, yeah.
Depending on the level of job, the difficulty, it would be anywhere from how much time have I earned today? And he was always checking in, like, how much time have I earned? And then he had to learn, do you want to spend it all, or you want to use it all in one sitting, or are you going to space it out and use 30 minutes now, and can you have another 30 minutes you can use later? So he had to learn to ration, just like you, if you had money, how would you spend it? Do you spend it all in one lump sum, or
right.
are you going to, you know, space it out for little things? So that was the beginning, teaching him those, and then as he's gotten older, it's turned into more of, Legos are stinking expensive. I'm sorry, but, you know, you can dream big, but you can drain your bank account if you're not careful. So his is now, it's teaching to set a goal of something he really, really wants, and now earning virtual dollars that we add to his account.
Well, it's a checkbook register.
Right, a
checkbook
register.
We're not giving him a million quarters.
Yeah.
Now get lost.
We're adding it in a tally.
Kind of like chips at a at a casino, right? No, just kidding. Just kidding.
So it's an invisible money that he checking book account, and that gets applied to it, and then he can check
it. He can make withdrawals.
Right.
He can make deposits.
And it gets written down.
But he can look at what he's got.
Yeah. And he'll check and say, oh, how much have I made this week? You know, how much do I have now? And how much do I still need? And so it's teaching him math principles, as well as the fact that if you really want something, it takes a while to work for it, but if you're really determined to do it, you can do it. But it's not us going out and just, oh, you know, it's constantly giving. We could, but again, it's no. He needs to learn to really value something, and that there's value in hard work. And for the little ones, the satisfaction principle of how to get them to do a job and to enjoy the rewards. Our weekends are spent outside. And last night, I think, is the first time I've seen them all kind of, they all stood back and they were looking around going, hey. They were enjoying what they were seeing because they all, in a way, pitched in to help. So that was good. But on a daily basis of make your bed, that doesn't seem to be a big thing. But for little ones, it's challenging. They love it when their beds are made and they're pushed in and they have a whole entire floor, a clean room. And boy, they're rolling around. You would think that you just, you know, took them to the circus. They act like, oh. I'm like, yeah, isn't it nice when you pick up and you put things away where they belong? It seems like you've got a brand new area. And they love it. So that's the thing. That's the value. When you take care of your stuff, when you do a job, you reap the benefit of it. Because any job worth doing is worth doing right.
Yeah.
If you do it right, look at how wonderful it is. And so, yeah, making your bed or picking up your room, you reap the benefit of it. You know, it's more fun.
Right, right, and that's a great thing. I hear a lot of good things going on there. I like too that, you know, using what I view in some ways as the cancer of kids, at the video games and TV in particular. Not that it's wrong to play a video game or wrong to watch TV. I'm not saying that, but kids will tend to pour so much time into those things, and it's just such wasted time. And honestly, some of the content you have to really watch on that stuff. That's another whole issue, but. Even if the content was all pristine, which it is not, unless you're careful to guard it, it's wasted. And I know for a lot of parents, it's like, yeah, but I put them in front of the TV, they're mesmerized, I can go do my thing. And I understand that sentiment as well. And I'm not saying that's always wrong, but be careful about letting that go on too much, and better yet, if you can make it a reward for doing work. But then that's work for you. See, that's the thing. Making kids work is work for you. I'll tell you a little story. I may have told this before, but if it's worth telling again in this context. When my wife and I first got married, I had a lot of the attitudes of resentment toward my parents that maybe like Josh had in that case toward me. And one of my big resentments toward my mom was that she was very organized and she made us work all the time. Now, we did have fun times and we did do good things and all that, but there was a lot of work in the mix. And I told my wife one time, I said, you know, my mom was just a very lazy person. She said, she is? Because she knows my mom, and she said that. I don't know as well as you do, but she doesn't seem lazy to me at all. She seems incredibly hardworking, incredibly energetic. Why do you think she's lazy? And I said, well, you know, she used to make us do all her work for her. She made us do all the dusting and the vacuuming and this, that, and the other. And in the morning, you know, when we get up for school, we had to get up, and she had a list of what we were going to have for breakfast. We had to fix our own breakfast and get ourselves all ready for school. And then at the last minute, at 9 o'clock, we'd go and wake her up. And she just kind of yawns, oh, good, have a nice day in school, give us a kiss. Oh, that lazy woman. You know, she didn't get up and cook our breakfast. She didn't do anything. She goes, bah, it is way harder to get kids to do the work and do it yourself. Your mom is not a lazy woman. Oh, you're right. So I had to have an attitude adjustment in that case in my 20s. So just because your kids resent things, and maybe because of the way parents are framing things, that happens, but and maybe they're overdoing, who knows. But on surface, it's a lot of work is the point, to make your kids work. But it's for their good, and it does you all good. So, yes?
A couple things real quick, based on one of the things that Tim Kennard said. The question for me becomes, what does it look like, practically speaking, to instill the desire like his nephew had, where I know where I'm at right now, and where mm-hmm. I've been for probably the last 5 or 10 years is, I enjoy learning how to do something. If a neighbor or someone else knows, you know, they have a certain skill, it's like, I would love to shadow that person and do it and learn to do it myself, be able to apply it. And just soaking up the knowledge of how to do it and actually being able to do it is very valuable. And, you know, it saddens me that I didn't have those desires as a child so that I could take, you know, kind of where I am now and apply it several years prior.
Yeah.
And so I was really encouraged about hearing about his nephew just really wanting to learn how to do these things and just take satisfaction in doing them. And so figuring out how to instill that into our kids is very big for me.
And that is an art, I think. I think the way we handle it as parents sometimes can make a difference, the way we frame it. Maybe our involvement, you know, if a parent gets involved and is working alongside, I don't know. There are probably some things that go into that, and I haven't put great thought into it, probably should. But that is a desirable goal. It's one thing that, yep, by golly, my kids do the work and I make them do it. But again, we're talking about building in character here. So we want more than just, yes, ma'am, I'll do it, or I know I'm fixing to get punished. We want them buying in. Not that they're not going to have their day. We all have our day. We wish we could sleep in or wish we could go take the vacation or what have you. But just building in a sort of a valuing and appreciation for work itself, figuring out how to frame things and handle things in a way that becomes the way that they look at it. It's very valuable, very valuable.
Yeah. Jaden's 4, obviously, and he's, but what little I know is just have him around.
Yes.
When you're doing something outside, he goes with you. When you go to the store, he goes with you.
Yeah.
When you mow the yard, he's out there with you.
There you go.
Even if you're having to.
Yeah.
So it takes twice as long, you trip and then he hits the handlebar on his forehead every time. He's out there with you. If you're working in the garden, he get down there, he helps
sure.
you get with you. Just exposing him. I mean, that's as far as we are. I mean,
and I think being okay when something goes wrong or something when it takes long. You know, I mean, if he ruins part of your garden because he's helping, you know.
Yeah. Part of the cost.
Yeah.
I was thinking with James specifically, one thing that we're having a problem with is his desire for instant gratification.
Mm.
Like you go to a restaurant, you sit down, I want my food. Well, yeah, it's going to take at least 10 minutes. And so in kind of combining all these thoughts, you know, having them think through like, well, what's happening? Like somebody had to come take our order, but they're also taking their order and then they're going to go turn it in and then what's going to happen there?
Right.
And I think just helping them to have the knowledge of what is required to get that food on your table.
Right.
And Jaden, you know, anytime he has, like we're going to have to go back to a pharmacy because he wants to know like what they do to give me my prescription. And then he wants to know like, how does that little thing work that comes out? And so I think figuring, like feeding on those, you know, interests and giving that knowledge and going to the library and getting a book about the trash man because he loves to run outside every time the trash man comes down and he wants to know what's all involved in their job. And so I think learning all those jobs and letting, you know, and so I know one thing that we're going to work on is that instant gratification. Like when he's ready for food right now, well, you come and help me do part of the job, see what is all involved. Like the table has to be cleaned. You can do that part. So I think helping them realize And so that, I think that'll help kind of feed into wanting to know. And that,
yeah, that is
that
good.
Instant gratification was my thing that was, I felt like was our biggest combat right now with work is,
yes,
we want it now.
One of the big things for Lindsay growing up, her dad was really good about sharing their passions with them as far as, like, you know, what are you interested in? What are you passionate about? Go get it. Go
yes.
do it kind of thing. And that's also another thing that,
it is.
You know, as she said, you know, the interest that they take, I think instilling a desire to go after those things will help create a self-motivation for being able to obtain those things, to teach themselves rather than, oh, I don't want to go to school. Are you kidding me? Well, if you're learning about all these different things that you're interested in, you know, they're going to motivate themselves to want to go to school.
Yeah.
And so just, you know, all these different, all these different things that I want to try and figure out.
Yeah, and all that takes work on the part of the parents, you know. And but that's what it's all about, right? And it's good work. It's time well spent. That's what you got to think about, because you're not going to get instant gratification either, unfortunately. But you know, that's the way it works. Let me. We're just about out of time here. I think you all have really hit everything that I tried to think of ahead of time. This is all going to be a review. Let's just scroll quickly. Teach your children the value and virtue of hard work. Teach your children skills and encourage them to develop skills on their own. Give your children responsibilities at an early age. Teach them how to tidy up after themselves. Leave things better than they found them. Incentivize your children to work for things they want. Don't just give them everything. And then there's this quote from J.C. Rao. He's a writer that wrote in the 19th century, and I like his way of framing things. He says, train your children a habit of always redeeming the time. I believe that idleness has led to more sin than almost any other habit that could be named. I'll catch this little poetic allusion here. It is the still waters that become stagnant and impure. The running, moving streams are always clear. Have you ever noticed that? If you go look at a stream out in the woods, if it's just standing water, it tends to be kind of icky. But if it's a moving stream, you could probably drink out of it. The active, moving mind is a hard mark for the devil to shoot at. I like that analogy as well. So there's some words of wisdom from someone of another age. These things are timeless principles. Well, to my surprise, we actually took the whole time, but you'll see most of it, of course, was our discussion, which is great. I like that. I like you guys bouncing off each other. I like that you guys are all already working at this and have great ideas and great things that you're doing. And it's great that we share it in the Christian community, because we can be encouraged by that. We can get ideas from that. So I think it's wonderful. And I hope you do too. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the wisdom that you give your people, and help us to be an encouragement to one another all the more as we see the day coming. And just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.